with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Well, you know, yesterday I enjoyed starting my Monday watching some Jameis Winston workout videos. Made me feel like they were doing a little something, Jordan. Today I see a...
He's been doing with these receivers basically all offseason.
What are you talking about? But it wasn't on video. This one was on video, like football stuff, because what I'd seen on Twitter.
Did you not see him getting attacked by a trainer trying to throw?
That's what I'm getting at, is that today I saw an individual post a video 2 minutes long of all of the workouts that Jameis Winston does.
Fascinating, right? Aren't you?
You know, I had a little fun with it. We're still trying to decide if it was an Aaron Brooks jersey or did that person go and invest in a number two Saints jersey for Jameis Winston. But, you know, he's being attacked by a dog. He's salsa dancing.
There's gunshots. He's avoiding gunshots.
Stepping on mines. I mean, you know, it's all those different workouts, Matty, that you're so specifically convinced is actually getting you ready for the season rather than, you know,
what we saw yesterday.
The drone footage showed us deep.
It's actually brilliant if you just got a drone and followed it around to like every college.
Deep outs. I saw everything.
Yeah, I was going to say I noticed the outs because that's probably trying to limit the...
You know how long it's been since I've seen, I don't know, a 30, 40 yard out with the ball zipping right over to the sideline? It's been a while.
True, a 47 yard pass to Emmanuel Sanders last season.
It got there. You know,
yeah, but the thing with Drew is
It's sort of like, you know, like when you're flying, you know, it's sort of like, you know, departures at 1, we ask you to get there for 12:30 for boarding, you know, Drew would throw it and then eventually the ball would get there.
But it would get exactly there every time.
That's a key, exactly there. And it kind of leads to a topic that we're going to do here in the 1 o'clock hour, Maddie. Got 5 weeks, okay, within five weeks, it will be training camp week. Legit real honest to goodness stories, legit honest to goodness practice, notes we can take, and we will, yes, overanalyze everything. And I'm just saying it now. We may not want to, but I'm just telling you, every throw these quarterbacks make, somebody is tweeting it. The depth, the direction, where it was placed, everything. So.
Watch the Saints pull a Lamar Jackson the day before training camp and say that they're not letting, anyone film. Workouts of the quarterbacks during the receivers.
Speaking of, did you see the Pro Football Focus over the weekend released the top 50 players that they had? Saints have a couple of players on there. Sent you guys that last night. We can go over that. Ryan Ramczyk is the lowest Saint.
What is with Ryan the Ramrod?
I don't know where that came from.
No.
Jordan, did you ever tweet out
Ryan the Ramrod?
Ryan Ramrod?
That's what they've made his little card for on PSN.
I just need to know if that's what
you're
going to
ram
Jordan. Him. What?
He's going to ram him. Like,
yeah, I need further explanation.
Like on the line. Oh. I don't know where your mind's taking this.
No, I think Maddie's on the same track as I am. Where did this come from? You know, I just but Alvin Kamara is on there.
Beast of the Bayou.
All right, Michael Thomas is on there. Saints with a handful. Maddie, if you want to go over the Saints players.
Yeah, well, you missed Terron Armstead, came before Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. Then there's also Marcus Williams, and mm-hmm. that's it all.
Were you surprised Marcus Williams is one of the top 50 players in the NFL per Pro Football Focus?
No.
I'm going to say yes.
I really think that,
like
he
there's
is
50.
An underrated. Like
okay, hear me out. DeMario Davis.
Okay, don't.
It's not.
Bring up. Yeah.
Okay, you understand what I'm getting at?
No, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, now I'm mad.
Like, DeMario Davis is not. I want to say in the list, I think Lamar Jackson wasn't.
Was not.
Top 50.
I mean, they left Drew out of the top 100, so
I understand.
Keep the trend going with.
I'm just, again, this is not personal. I'm going to say Lamar Jackson is a top 50 football player in the league.
I mean, he's the MVP off.
You know, again,
years ago?
I just. I mean, we're picking 50, not 100 here, right, Maddie? 50. It's sort of like we were doing this last weekend, or last week, Jordan, on Friday, of who's your top 10 NBA player and then top 5. Like, top 10 to me, you're 5 through 10, Maddie. You're a player that when, you know, you're seen on the schedule, oh, goodness, here we go. You got to play that guy. He's going to beat you. He has the possibility to beat you single-handedly. 1 through 5 is the, you're not stopping him. You're just hoping the other guys on the team don't hurt you as well. You know what I'm getting at? Like, I mean, that's to me a 1 through 5 player in any league. Like, it's just happening. You just hope that you can somewhat limit other players.
That you say that, because I see that Travis Kelce is ranked 3rd, who I'm pretty sure we almost shut down, if not for a couple of short 3rd down passes in the Chiefs game. And I mean, Tom Brady's at 7th.
Well, that's what I was going to get into, because they also did do the top 10 quarterbacks. We'll get into this here as well.
But you're going to tell me that Travis Kelce is ranked 3rd and Tom Brady is ranked 7th?
Again, this isn't my list, you know, but believe me. And again, nothing personal, but if Marcus Williams is a top 50 player, then you're telling me he's a top 3 safety and he's changing games. I don't know if he's changing games. I could be wrong. Apparently, I am in the city. Everyone else seems to think he's an incredible safety. And he got franchise tagged. So I'm in the wrong, apparently. I just go by what my eyes see.
The problem was he had a couple of whiffs, I think, early last season when they were not really getting zone coverage down. And I think when they kind of started to switch more to cover 2 schemes and, like, Marshawn Lattimore and Janoris Jenkins kind of got it together, that, like, those problems also dissipated. But I feel like there's also always going to be just, like, the mini – like, every time you think of Marcus Williams, there's that – immediate disclaimer. And so, like, when he is responsible for a couple of myth plays at the beginning of a season, I feel like it gets magnified in that aspect.
Are you surprised that of the players that are in the Pro Football Focus top 50 are offensive minded for the most part? I think it's like one.
Aaron Donald's ranked top. So.
No, I'm saying Saints players.
Oh.
Of the, you know, number of Saints players that are on there. Yeah. Pretty much all offense.
Right. So. I mean, Cam Jordan has a, I think, the most top 10 sack seasons of all time when I looked it up before. I know that Aaron Donald is, like, more prolific, like, I guess, on a season-for-season basis. But, like, leave DeMario Davis off there is asinine.
Again, I'm not being ugly. I just, you know, I would take DeMario Davis over Marcus Williams. That's all. I just think he has more of an impact, which goes to my whole point, though, is why I like the linebacker in the draft. You're involved in more different plays that you can sort of get in there.
Did you say you like the linebacker from the draft?
Oh, I didn't say that. You didn't hear what I said. I said that's why going into the draft I thought linebacker was the place to go. Yes. Now, I think we all know how I feel about that. I want a jersey seller. I just don't know if he is.
I'm going to get you a
You know, again, jersey. We can wait. I'm just going to, you know, let's just
why
see.
Wait when you
let's
can
just see. That could be a great question of the day, or the first day of camp, of the rookie class. Who's going to be the one that sells the most jerseys?
Well, then you can basically.
I'm going with Buckshot.
Well, guess what? He's probably not going to make the team. If Gus said it.
What, Buckshot?
If Gus said it.
The number one.
Let me tell you something.
He's jinxing them.
If Buckshot Turner doesn't make it, and they whiff on 2 consecutive edge rushers in the first round.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Exactly.
To his curse.
Yeah,
y'all.
I'm just saying.
It's just to his curse.
I'm just telling you. Okay. I got a good feeling about Buckshot.
Well, hopefully you didn't curse him.
I did not curse him. I'm not going to curse him.
Well, maybe because this is his self-determined nickname for Peyton Turner that it doesn't actually apply because no one else
calls
him Buckshot.
You're right, Matty.
That is very true. You know what? It's time that we actually get to something of importance, and that is the lead.
Time now for the lead. The lead. The lead. The lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
So what did you think? Did you tune in? Did you listen? Matt Muscala at the Further Review went live with it. Mr. Jay Johnson, now your head coach of your LSU baseball team, Tigers. Lots of excitement, right? On social media, talking about tradition. Lots of photos with him and Skip and Paul. You can argue if that's a good thing or not, but, you know, that is the part of the tradition. I was having this discussion yesterday, and y'all can tell me if I'm on something or not. We talked about during this process about ties to university, getting SEC coaches, all this other stuff. We saw yesterday a lot, too. He's the first Pac-12 coach hired by an SEC school, which is crazy to me when you think about it. But a lot was being made about, you know, well, he's got to have this, or he's got to have that tradition and you know, winning and all that. And I listened to not just Matt, but other people in the city touch on the tradition of it's almost like, you know, this is where they need to be. This is a program about championships. I mean, they tweeted, for crying out loud, the day they announced him, Jordan, the leader of future national champions. And I understand that's the expectation level. We're right. But I guess I'm just sitting there yesterday and I'm watching Vanderbilt win. Vandy won in 14, 19. They're a win away tonight from winning another national champion. Maybe it's because I was thinking about it like this, Matty. I was shocked that Jordan's going to be 23 in November. I'm still remembering when we were counting down to 21.
Even 20.
We talked about Jordan when he first started here, as in Michael Jordan. And, you know, and Jordan's like, I don't remember. And I'm like, really? He's like, he was born the year of the last championship for Michael Jordan, Matty. I wouldn't.
You were?
Yes. 98? He was born in 98.
Well, that's weird.
So my point is this. You look at LSU's national champions, right? Championships. In the 2000s, you had 2000 and 2009, right? Is that right? That's what
don't say this because you're going to jinx it.
No. What I'm saying, though, is if you were born in 2000, you're 21 years old.
Thanks. I hate it.
Is LSU a dominant baseball program in your lifetime? It's in 2003... They went to the best of three format, right? We saw the stat after the win last night that since then, like, Vanderbilt's won something like 20 games. I mean, it's pretty impressive. If you start from 2003, you're born in 2003, okay? Which is what? Your age group of thinking about where you're going to go play college baseball? LSU has won national championship in that time, right?
If you were born in 2003, you're just right. Starting to think.
Well, I'm just saying, in 2003, right, you would be at that high school baseball level, early college level, right, where you're thinking about where to go play.
Who is
a kid that's playing baseball?
Oh. Why are you talking about us?
No, I think that's a little, I think that's a little late. I think that's
okay. But my point is, if I was born in 2003 when they started the best of three series, is LSU a dominant baseball program?
Well, yeah.
In your mind, they are.
They.
They've won one national championship.
That's fine.
So okay. The Saints.
You call that dominance?
I mean, they've been to two national championships within
Vandy's
that time.
Vandy's won two. They're about to win three in that time. Florida's won multiple. I mean, do you understand what I'm getting at?
The most anyone's won in the past 20 years is three.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But you've won one really and you've been there twice.
That's not like that much more dominant than LSU going twice
but that's
and having a chance
what
to
What I'm getting
win
at
twice.
Is I think
dominant was the wrong word choice, I would say.
No,
like maybe,
no, no.
Like,
I'm bringing it up on purpose because I think we still think of the 90s. That was dominant, right? Four titles in the 90s. I mean, they were the dominant baseball program. But I guess I'm just sort of thinking about it sort of like Notre Dame or even the U, where you were like, you would think that they used to, but I'm talking about as recent.
Well, I was just
10,
thinking
15,
like
20 years, Notre Dame and all, and they're not what they were, say, when I grew up, or something of that nature.
Yeah, it's like people holding on to, like, the steel curtain.
Right, and that's all
and
I'm
acting
saying.
Like that's still something that's relevant to the
And that's what
team.
I mean, is, like, with the hiring, and I guess the reason I'm kind of long-winded in this is the point I'm trying to come up with, is I think they have to kind of rebuild that dominance or that aura that you kind of feel you have and think they should be, but I'm just telling you, in reality, you look at it, they're not. They haven't been. In comparison to other schools, I'm just being honest. Like, you look at Vandy, if they win today, they have way more wins since 2003 when they went to the best of three. They would have more national champions. I'm just saying, like, if you look at the SEC and you look at the teams there, Arkansas was number one. You're seeing all these different schools that are number one, Florida. And I'm just saying, if you were born in 2000 or if you're a 2003 kid moving forward, would you immediately think that's the baseball program I need to go to? Which is the point that I'm saying with Jay Johnson here. He has to build his own program here and kind of make that again what it was. Yet, while still, I wouldn't say chasing, but living with the ghost of the past, if that makes sense.
Well, I was going to say, maybe that's a very intentional way that they're moving forward, is just like, now we're a dominant team. That's it. Like, sometimes you need a little bit of swagger, and maybe that's like
right.
all that there is behind that. But
well, let's take a quick break. We'll talk to Brody Miller, covers the LSU Tigers for The Athletic, and we'll ask him
ask
about
him.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, like I said, I'm just thinking about it yesterday,
no,
listening
fair.
To him talk. And,
it's the same thing with
and that's why
fans.
I think it's a very important, you know,
Google
with that. Too. You know, well, but Maddie, in that time, same thing. Since Peyton's time to now, if you were Saints, young Saints fan, you don't know what it's like to wear bags. You don't know anything about that. But there was a past, you know. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans. Clay Young here with John Conroy, the founder and owner of PestOp, your do-it-yourself pest control solution. Got a question for you, John.
Mm-hmm.
How do you control fleas?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to give you a secret.
Okay.
If I gave you something to treat the inside that killed the adults, the pre-adult stage, in 24 hours you'd think I was a hero.
That's right.
And in 5 to 7 days you'd think I was a goat.
Okay.
Because you got to retreat. People forget about the pupa stage. They are protected in that stage. They'll survive a nuclear holocaust.
Wow.
So I'm just telling you, it's going to take several treatments to get rid of them, whether you're treating the inside or outside.
I have watched you educate so many people on using your product. Tell us now where we can get it.
In Metairie, we're located at 3512 Severn Avenue next to the Pepper Mill. On the North Shore, we're at 1417 North Highway 190. That's in the same shopping center as Sherwin-Williams and Villery Florist. And on the West Bank, we're on the Palco just past the Harvey Bridge.
Because at Pest Stop,
we can help you with that.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etail business can do for you. And that's connecting you to work every day. Etail is on for business.
Man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Work for The Athletic, LSU beat reporter Mr. Brody Miller at Brody A. Miller. The way to talk over, talk, the way to follow over on Twitter. Brody, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. So in the opening segment, I was just kind of talking about whether or not LSU is still a dominant baseball program or not. And I was talking about if you were born in 2000 or in 2003 when it went to the best of three series and the job that Jay Johnson has ahead of him. Jordan, quickly run down from what you were saying, all the different schools that have been there or not and won. And we'll get to Brody in the start here.
All right. Yeah. So the past 15 years since 06, Oregon State, 3 appearances, 3 wins. Fresno State, 1 win. LSU, 2 appearances, 1 win. South Carolina, 3 appearances, 2 wins. Arizona, 2 appearances, 1 win. UCLA, 2 appearances, 1 win. Vanderbilt, 3 appearances, 2 wins. Now 4 appearances. Virginia, 2 appearances, 1 win. Coastal Carolina, 1 win. Florida, 2 appearances, 1 win.
So, Brody, when you take a look at Jay Johnson and whoever it was going to be, whether it's Jay or anybody else, to get... I keep thinking, like, LSU's baseball program, are they a dominant program if I was born in 2000 and 2003, per se?
Yeah, I think it's a valid question. I think my answer would be, though, first off, it is the same way that, I don't know, I mean, if you're a teenager now, like, you still under... Let's put it this way, before Calipari or went back to UK or something like that, like, you know, UK was kind of in a mm-hmm. stale spot for 10, 15 years, but still every kid knew UK basketball was the biggest deal in the world, and then just took one right hire to get it back. And I'd say, I mean, yeah, LSU hasn't won as many titles as it would like to, but it's still been, and I didn't hear what the exact number was on LSU, but from 2008 to 2017, they still went to the playoff to the World Series every other year, right? It's not like they were out of recruits' mind, right? And I know they weren't winning, and that's fair. I mean, yeah, they have a little catching up to do. I'm not arguing that, but I still think they are, like, I don't like getting into the game of what's the literal best job, but they're still clearly one of them, I think, because at the end of the day, a good job isn't just prestige. It's resources. It's recruiting ability, and they still are landing top recruits. It's things like that. It's fan base, all that. So I still think it is among the top three jobs in the country. But yeah, there's absolutely still some catching up to do. I'll never deny that.
And Brody, you brought up where I was going with this, and you mentioned the word recruits, because whoever was going to get this job, and now it's Jay Johnson, part of it, in which he spoke to yesterday, is about that, right? And it's getting those recruits, and it's getting them to understand the now. Because, look, you look around the SEC, and we had Paul Maneri on before the season opener this year, and he said anybody in the West can do well this year or can win. You look alone at Arkansas as the number one team in the country. Mississippi State's playing for the national championship. So just in the West alone, you can sort of see that Florida's won the national title. It's convincing these kids to come to your school. And would you say that recruiting is one of the toughest things that Jay Johnson's going to have to do to convince? Hello, Brody.
I am so sorry. I pressed the mute button there.
No, that's fine.
I just don't like you guys. No, my answer is that I think it's a good question because, listen, I don't think Paul Maneri exactly prided himself as a recruiter. I think, and a lot of people historically have argued, hey, it's LSU, it recruits itself. But here's what they're getting in Jay Johnson. They're getting a guy who lives and breathes recruiting. Almost, you know, like that is his. I mean, he's an amazing, you know, hitting coach, and that's what his high-powered offense get the acclaim. But him as a recruiter is what anyone who knows him talks about, because he's the kind of guy who, like, lives and drinks and eats. You know, like, that's his life. So, and I point to, and the thing, I'm not going to claim Jay Johnson. I know if Jay Johnson's going to be a great coach. I don't know. I mean, yeah, he wasn't the first, second, or third choice, and we all know that. But the thing that I will defend that I find really interesting, I guess would be a better way to phrase it, is that his history is as a builder. I mean, that is his whole history. You go back to, you know, San Diego, which, again, looked good for a while, but that's not some prestigious program with a bunch of history and a bunch of resources. And he landed number one class in the country, number two class in the country, and built there. By the time he left, they went from one of the worst stadiums in the country to one of the nicest on the West Coast. And then you go to Nevada, you build there and win the conference in year two. Then you go to Arizona, and yeah, you win, you make it Omaha year one with someone else's guys, and then there's that lull. But then once he built his own team, they were back in Omaha by his fifth full season. So I think recruiting is something that people rave about him for, and that, you know, he almost thinks like Nolan Kane, for example, in the way that he analyzes, you know, the separator and finding the details between getting a guy on campus and the guy going pro and all those little things. That is his skill set. Now, he admitted the big question is West Coast, SEC connections. Are you going to have those same connections? That he's going to have to catch up on. He seems aware of that, but it also seems like he's looking to hire a staff that can help make up for that a little.
Speaking with Brody Miller, LSU beat reporter for The Athletic, and this is why I was going this way, because I wanted to hear that. I would think I wanted listeners to, because there's two things that stood out to me listening to him speak yesterday, which you're talking about, is understanding the recruiting, the importance of getting players. But also, Brody, there's two things I thought at the start of this search that LSU needed to think about. That is obviously getting the players, because you look at some of the schools, which I just mentioned, in the SEC, they have either won national championships or played for them. They've gotten good players. I mean, they just have. But yeah. I think developing is just as key. Anyone can win with Leiter. I mean, you know, anyone can win with some of the pitchers Florida's had or some hitters that other schools have. You're going to get one or two or three, right? I get that. But it's the timely hitters and other guys that can step up, make plays, diving catches in the outfield, your base runners, the guy that can come in off the bench and get a hit. That's developing players, and I felt like over the last couple of years, it was, let's put out the best player that we think, and if that person doesn't do well after a game or two, we'll just replace him with another player because they have the talent. But I thought developing was key, and I heard a lot of that word yesterday with Jay Johnson.
No, I think that is a real critique of the last few years that I have time for. You know, I think there's truth to that. And yeah, I mean, I do think that is a strength of Johnson. You know, I think there's a quote in the story I wrote that I published today that where Long Beach State coach Eric Valenzuela, who, you know, came up with him, you know, through the ranks and was said, hey, here's the thing that makes Jay good. And he's that he has just as much history developing the under radar guys, like a Logan Gelbrich was the example, a guy who had only got $3,000 of scholarship money and couldn't hit a lick and ended up being a draft pick by the Padres. You know, you have a guy, he's great at developing those guys, and then he has just as much history as developing the Chris Bryants or the Jacob Berries at Arizona, you know, guys like that. So I think that's a big thing for him, is that he has history developed. He can be a grinder who's developing those under the radar guys, which sometimes in Louisiana, those are some of the best guys. And he has a lot of history landing the stars and developing the stars. And yeah, so does Paul Maneri, right? You know, so it's like, it's one of those questions where I'm not going to like dunk on Paul and I'm not going to praise Jay because I don't know yet, but that does seem to be a buzzword. You're absolutely right about that. And it's going to be interesting to see if he can do it at this, you know, high of a level.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Brody, you know, one of the things you heard a lot about during the search is bringing back energy and things of that nature. And it's not that maybe that Paul didn't have that or not. And I think energy can mean a lot of different things, right? And that's just sort of excitement back to the ballpark. I thought it was interesting that I saw a lot of people that cover LSU and even former players, Brody. I don't know if you, I'm sure you noticed it. Former players during the search and after LSU went out were tweeting things they can do with the box. Even LSU, right, was asking what kind of upgrades would you want or what needs to be back at the box. And I was kind of surprised by the amount of people that literally used energy and having the people act a certain way, right? I mean, you saw all that the last couple of weeks.
No, there's no doubt. One of my favorite things to follow in any coaching search is how every hire seems like the inverse of the last hire a little bit, you know, and yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer Paul Maneri is one of the better coaches of all time, but energy isn't probably the word anyone would use for that. And I do think there's a little bit of this hire has a lot to do with the inverse of that, right? So, and I think, yeah, I think that's a huge thing right now is like you're talking about earlier at the beginning, right? About, is it still the best? Is it still, you know, it's about getting that buzz back. It's about getting that energy is the word we're using here, getting that back and being able to get, you know, exciting teams back in the box, getting the box rolling again, all those kind of things. I think that's real, and getting the fan base behind everyone and excited and all that. I think that stuff's real, and I won't even know how to begin to answer if Jay Johnson is that or if he isn't. That part I don't know, but I couldn't agree more that was such a key focus from this entire search, was kind of up and coming, young, exciting, builder, all those things. Those were absolutely the buzzwords, and it's going to be interesting to see. Yeah, you mentioned things that might happen to the box in the next few years, you know, what they do with it.
Yeah, because it was interesting, Brody, that going against that super regional against Tennessee, right? It was which fan base is better and which one can do it. I mean, it is, though, that environment and bringing that up was just as much. And, you know, it's one of the reasons some Tiger fans on message boards wanted Vitello, because there's videos of him after they win games where
he's got really, energy, I know that much.
Right, he runs in the stands and is high-fiving people and taking chugs of beer. It's awesome. What else stood out to you, man, in about the 2.5 minutes here? Anything that Jay said yesterday?
You know, I think there's just, I was pretty impressed by him. And, you know, just there was a certain composure mixed with energy that I thought was kind of tangible. And I just go back to, you know, we talk, it's a combination of everything we talked about. But the theme I go back to is, I think what's going to be exciting about him is he is a guy who has made his whole career, and I keep repeating myself, building with less, and then, but still, Arizona is a big job. Let's not pretend that's small, and then still getting more out of that. So I think that's the thing that always stood out to me, is he's a guy who knows how to build, develop. You know, he, you know, I know LSU at different times we're looking at assistants more than head coaches, you know, or like, you know, certain guys like that. But he's a guy who very intentionally went the route of, I'm going to be a young head coach, I'm going to learn how to be a head coach, kind of like a Paul Maneri did, you know, his route, you know, learn that way, learn how to build. And then by the time I get to a job like LSU, I am ready for it. And I think that's just the part that really has my attention with Jay Johnson. And the fact that, again, he wasn't the first choice. He wasn't the huge name of, you know, an O'Sullivan or something like that, or a Pat Casey. But I think he fits a lot of the things that tend to go historically with the next great coach. You know what I mean? Right. I think he checks those boxes.
again, I'm not going to pretend that I know in depth any of the final three per se candidates that are out there, Brody. But as we wrap up, just looking at, I like to call the snapshot resume, right? Where everybody writes a paragraph of what they've done, the wins, appearances. I remember looking at Jordan and I said, of the three that were kind of listed, I said, Jay kind of stood out to me. Just the, wherever he gets there, there's quick turnaround, there's quick success. And that's what I was looking at. Or I guess trying to convey on the air, Brody, is that it's fine to say, hey, this coach has been Omaha or not. Find a good baseball coach. I keep saying this with the Pelicans. Find a basketball coach. Find a communicator. Develop some of the talent. Anyone can win with stars. Become a good team, and that's how you wind up winning games. I'm watching these College World Series games. Man, it's you need everybody, right? I mean, you look at the NBA playoffs. You need everybody, Brody.
No, Oh, wait, you cut out there.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, you need everybody, right? I mean, it's kind of the key to try to win championships.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think, you know, T-Bob and I, one of our favorite things on our show is the joke about how, like, we call ourselves coaching hiring nihilists or something like that, where it's like we all just, everyone thinks that they know what a program needs, what kind of coach. Okay, you know, this, you know, you're going offensive banger, so you need young. You're going off this, so you need experience. And it's like, stop, you don't put yourself in boxes. Just like, and I like the way you put that. It's just like, get a good coach. It's you're good. It's how you do it. Do you know what you're doing? And I don't know if Jay Johnson's going to be the next Skip Bertman, but I feel really confident he is just a very good coach who knows what he's doing, and that's step one.
No doubt, for sure. Go read Brody's work on Jay and what he thought of yesterday's introductory press conference. You can follow him over on Twitter, at Brody A. Millen, of course, The Athletic. He's LSU's beat reporter. Thank you for your time today this afternoon, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me as always. Have a good one.
Yep, for sure. We'll switch our attention over to basketball when we come back. Mr. Christian Clark from The Advocate and The Picayune. Jordan, do we have a head coach yet for your New Orleans Pelicans? Do we?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. That's we all. Still want to talk to Christian, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. So we'll hit the first break when we come back. We'll give you an update as well. Maddie is focused on England and Germany in the 74th minute, 0-0 between England and Germany. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Tell me why you cried and why you lied to me.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
It's Macy's July 4th sale with our lowest prices of the season on summer updates for your home, like 20 to 50% off outdoor furniture and the Radley 5-piece sectional chaise sofa, $1,999. And get a free adjustable base or box spring with qualifying mattress purchase. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Sign up today at Macy's.com/StarRewards. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Freddie Coleman.
I don't think he's going to make it in the next couple of minutes.
Ian Fitzsimmons.
I really don't think I'm going to make it through the night. I don't.
Are Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
Oh, them.
More of a good thing.
He is the king of the reverse jinx.
Tom Brady had a chance to speak, and once again, he shows us he's that every man for you.
And greetings and salutations, brothers and sisters. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. Fitzsimmons.
Cam Atkinson. Just hit the post.
I'm Freddie Coleman. We are
Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Weekdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
We went into break 0-0. That is no score, Jordan. Maddie, what happened during the break?
England got a goal from Raheem Sterling. I believe it was off of Grealish and Shaw, and it was a pretty good shot, according to you. The goalie missed it.
But I mean, he whiffed. But I'm not saying it was a not. It was a great shot, but yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think a stat came up that England hasn't scored past the 62nd minute in this tournament. Mm-hmm. It was in the subtitles, so it was a little blurry. But
going to speak to Christian Clark here from The Advocate, and Picky and covers your New Orleans Pelicans in the NBA. First, let's welcome you. Christian, how are you this afternoon?
It's raining again. I think it's not raining. It's just raining more than it's not raining now.
I snuck in the grass cutting yesterday because I knew it was going to pour all week. I want you to listen to Zach Lowe's update on Damian Lillard, since I kind of think that we're probably going to talk about this a little bit. Here you go.
I think it's like Portland is going to operate from the standpoint of, hey, you've got 3 years left on your contract. Like, we're not under pressure. We're not even under pressure to deal you if you even get to that place, and I don't think they've gotten even close to that place, deal you to a place where you want to go. The whole league is our landscape with so much time left on your contract. Will that position of strength last? Will they really hold to that? We'll see. Again, none of this has really happened yet. This is all in the realm of speculation. But, yes, the smoke is billowing, and we appear to be at least heading in some sort of plausible direction where, let's put it this way, the teams that are interested, they've been doing their homework for a long time. They've been sniffing around for a long time about what would it take, who would be interested, where does he fit, what packages make sense. Like, that process is already underway.
Christian, I'm going to ask the obvious. Are your New Orleans Pelicans bloodhound, long, big old nose type sniffing on Damian Lillard?
They should be. I mean, I'm sure, you know, those are discussions, you know, they've had long before even this week. I mean, Zach Lowe mentioned that, you know, all the teams who, you know, could get Damian Lillard, like, they've had these discussions already. So I'm sure they've already talked about it. Maybe they do again. But, I mean, from where I'm sitting, Damian Lillard solves almost all of your problems except for one, and that's defense. I mean, he's an incredible leader. Him and Zion Williamson, there aren't many players. I mean, I can count them on maybe one hand who fit better offensively next to Zion Williamson. I mean, think of the pick and roll with Damon the ball in his hands and Zion rolling to the rim. Think of the pick and roll with Zion with the ball in his hands and Dame kind of setting that screen and popping out the three-point arc. That's like, a version of what he did with J.J. Redick on steroids. It makes sense on so many different levels, really, except for the defense, and would give them, you know, instant credibility, too. I mean, Dame's just a floor raiser. His teams go to the playoffs. They don't miss the playoffs.
Question for you, because I like him. Jordan would like Maddie. Would you like Damian Lillard? I'm sure you would like him too. Yep. What?
Dislike
it. Yeah, exactly. Everybody would like Damian. The question, though, is especially to a player that has a no trade clause, is do they want to come to it, you know, to this team? So when you look at it reverse wise, what do the Pelicans offer Damian Lillard for a guy that, again, a reason you would leave Portland is to win a championship, right? You're not leaving Portland to go to the playoffs. Why New Orleans?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, it's, if I'm being objective here, I mean, you know, it probably looks like a lateral move in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, if you're New Orleans, you know, you start this deal, you don't want to put Brandon Ingram at least to start the negotiation. Say, look, got a bunch of these interesting young guys. We have a billion picks over the next 7 years. It's actually 11. What can we do with this? You know, starting with number 10 pick in the upcoming draft. You know, if I'm Portland, I definitely want Brandon Ingram in that deal plus the boatload of picks. Then you kind of look at it like, you know, Damian Lillard and Zion Williamson and like stuff around them, like Nikhil Alexander Walker, you know, Najee Marshall, like replacement center X. I mean, I think that probably makes you a playoff team. I mean, maybe you're even hosting a first round playoff series, but you know, a title contending team. I mean, I think there'd still be a lot of work to do in that roster. So I hear exactly what you're saying.
Christian, you could tell me if I'm crazy after, but I'm going to give you my proposal to the Portland Trail
Blazers. Oh, here we go. We got a proposal on the table here.
All right.
Here we go.
If I'm the Pelicans, I want Lillard, Nurkic, Covington, and I'll give you Ingram, Adams, Bledsoe, Kyra, Hayes, and 3 first-round picks.
Wow. It's a haul.
Oh, man. I mean, if you're in New Orleans, I think you do that all day, obviously. And Portland's going to be interesting, man. I mean, Philadelphia looks like kind of a logical trade partner. If, you know, I don't know how Neil O'Shea feels about Ben Simmons, but it almost certainly seems like they're going to be moving on from him. But they've got a lot of interesting options. And, I mean, it's just not very often a 30-year-old guy, you know, all-NBA caliber player, 3 years left in his deal becomes available. So they should and will get the mother load.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, something that the Pelicans seem to be missing is really that, like, want and desire to win a championship. And so to bring in someone like Lillard who's really pushing for that, I feel like that might be something that could kind of push them over the edge. But, you know, you bring up the good point about him lacking on defense. But to me, the Pelicans have issues on both sides of the ball. So, you know, is it more important at this point to get a defensive-minded player or maybe to get a coach? I know that was the original intent with Stan Van Gundy, but is defense something that you think is more teachable versus getting a dynamic player on offense like Lillard?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, first and foremost, I think it just comes down to talent. Like, I mean, if I'm New Orleans, I'm doing literally anything I can besides including Zion Williamson's deal to get Damian Lillard. I mean, I want relevancy. I know I desperately need to make the playoffs. You know, going into next summer where Zion Williamson is eligible for a contract extension, I mean, I need to show him that I'm serious and that we can kind of turn the ship around, because that was the idea when David Griffin got hired 3 years ago, and it hasn't gone according to plan. I mean, I would be doing anything I can to get Dame on this roster.
Jordan was bringing up that point. I know Scott Kushner as well wrote on that over in the Advocate and the Picayune that the whole reason you acquire all of these picks, Christian, is to do something like this, or is it to sort of build? Because we're going to kind of discuss this today and tomorrow here as well. But, you know, are you willing to give up the future and everything in hopes that this works out, or that you'll have enough, or that you can sort of get them or not? I mean, is this kind of where you are, especially after that article came out 2 weeks ago that claimed that Zion is unhappy and family members already want him out?
Yeah, look, I mean, everything I've heard is I think there is a lot of legitimacy to what The Athletic reported. And honestly, like, if everything I heard was different, like, oh, like, you know, Zion Williamson is, you know, willing to be really patient and he's willing to see this thing through. And like, if we just keep this thing together by, you know, year 5 with him, like, you know, we'll build this thing organically and be a really good team. That's great. But I mean, I don't view that as the reality of the situation. I mean, I think that there should be an incredible amount of urgency to improve quickly. I think kind of the central like tension or friction or whatever you want to call it is that David Griffin has talked, you know, every press conference about, like, oh, we want to have this sustainable success
there
and build slowly over time. And, I think that's great. I mean, that's, you know, we're in a small market. Like, you're just not going to get marquee free agents. But that timeline is not the timeline that Zion Williamson is on, I don't think. I mean, he's, you know, one of the best 20-year-old basketball players we've ever seen. I mean, I don't blame him for not wanting to operate in that timeline.
And there it is. That's kind of the phrase that I've been using too as well. You've heard organically, you've heard sustainable success. Well, what is that when you're essentially have to do it in a short amount of time? Christian, I think I might have even asked you this, especially after that report came out. Are we now in the era where if you're perhaps one of the top potentially gifted players, because I say that because he's done well, don't get me wrong, and in 90 games, there's still a lot of game for Zion to develop here as well. But are we in the era now where if you are that top pick overall or a top 3 pick overall, you're demanding to get it done and have a title shot in your rookie contract term? Because that's
you know, we'll see what happens next summer. That could open a whole can of worms that could, you know, change the whole NBA. But, like, I think this is just such a unique circumstance. circumstance. I mean, most number one picks, like I bet the next 10 number one picks will not have the star power or the marketability or, frankly, the talent that Zion Williamson had at 18, 19 years old. Like, he's such a unique player, and I think it's just, you know, interesting match between player and market. I mean, look, yeah. Zion got $80 million from Jordan before he ever played a game. Like, you know, I mean, of course you want to take the guaranteed money on a table, but, like, he is such a, you know, unique player and, like, person who can be marketed. So, I mean, it could open a can of worms, but I view this as kind of a unique situation.
No doubt. We'll see what happens. Speaking of, by the way, the coaching search, Wizards, Magic, Pelicans are the three teams remaining, and I'm sure, Christian, you've seen on your timeline, oh, when's the Pelican? Well, here's the thing. The names that have gone, Carlisle, Billups, Kidd, Udaka, I don't think ever really tied to the Pelicans, or really I didn't see that many Pelicans fans wanting. So I'm not freaking out just yet. Penny Hardaway apparently interviewed with Orlando for the Magic. That makes sense. Is it still Jacques Vaughn, Charles Lee that are leading the way for the Pels, Christian?
Yeah, we reported in Sunday's paper that, you know, those two names, Jacques Vaughn and Charles Lee, are the most serious contenders to get the job. I haven't heard anything, you know, since to tell me otherwise. It's been you know, pretty quiet the past few days. I was told that interviews are going to go into this week. So I would, you know, I think that's definitely where the smart money is one of those two guys. But it wouldn't shock me if there was, like, you know, a dark horse candidate who gains steam. But yeah, I haven't heard anything otherwise that there would be anyone other than Jacques Vaughn or Charles Lee.
To me, Vaughn seems to maybe have the edge here. He kind of has that edge in terms of, like, coaching through adversity in between, you know, in your piece about Atkinson and Steve Nash coaching in that interim with an injury depleted team. It's kind of what the Pelicans were almost like in that situation last year. So, like, how important is that aspect of adversity and being able to push through that in the Pelicans head coach search?
I mean, I think incredibly important. You know, whoever takes this job is going to, you know, deal with expectations to win immediately. Like, if he'd been hired last year, then you'd at least get, you know, the 1 year before you kind of have some real expectations that hit. But yeah, I mean, I think anything less than, you know, appearance in the play-in tournament or even the playoffs itself is going to be viewed as a pretty massive disappointment for this group. So yeah, I think, you know, there's some real pressure here to deliver right away.
Christian, as always, man, I appreciate the time, sir. Last night, we'll wrap up with this. Just give me 30 seconds on each. Are you surprised the Clippers got that win? They feel strong right now. Kind of feel like Phoenix, since Chris has been back, to trying to find back what they had. And tonight's Hawks-Bucks game, how do you like both series right now?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, Chris Paul, I thought, was by far the best player in that Nuggets series, and he's been kind of bad in the series.
Yeah.
I think that's really been the biggest difference for Phoenix. Like, he's just not getting his little patented mid-range jumper to fall. Reggie Jackson, shout out. Maybe another big payday on the horizon. That's been pretty fun to watch. I definitely got a kick out of that. And I think Milwaukee will get it done. I mean, I you know, feel pretty good about that one for sure.
I hear you. C. Clark 3000 on Twitter. Pelicans beat writer for the Picayune and the Advocate here as well. Christian, always appreciate the time, sir. Thank you.
I appreciate you guys.
Mr. Christian Clark, come back, do some top stories. Maddie, I got to give you credit. You are absolutely doing an incredible professional job because England scored again, and you're rooting for the British.
Harry Kane, first time in his career in a championship
game. Controlled the emotion. We were all throwing our hands up in the air.
I perfected the silence screen.
You did. We'll be back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
You say hello and I take a ride.
Join us for our Ram Spotlight Sales event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. You can get a great deal on a Ram today. Check out all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
It's Mike to tell you.
for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero-turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails, operator comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Locations in Houma, La Rose, and Thibodeau.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Terrebonne General Health System Community Sports Institute is recognized for outstanding service and contributions to Terrebonne Parish. We provide a certified athletic trainer to every Terrebonne Parish High School. We also provide concussion baseline testing to over 1,400 student athletes annually, along with CPR and AED certification to over 500 area coaches at both the schools and the recreation departments. We are proud to be your trusted resource in keeping our community safe. Visit teghealthsystem.com.
Get more out of summer when you get more from the Home Depot and trusted brands like Behr Paint. Beat the summer heat by taking on a paint project indoors and keep things cool with 4th of July savings on paint and all the supplies you need. We're making sure now is the perfect time to give your home a refresh. How cool is that? 4th of July savings only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Let's do it around this time each and every day.
Here's a look at what's making news. Let's check out the Sports Hangover's top stories.
Maddie, you look patiently nervous over there.
The last minute. The final minute up of extra time.
They're up 2-0. I mean, you think Germany can score two goals, Maddie, in like 30 seconds? Oh, almost.
It's over.
Don't speak, Gus.
Okay, I'm not going to. Jordan Wynn, top stories. Give me something.
Yeah, let's stick with the hardwood. Like we were just talking with Christian Clark about Damian Lillard, there's another player that's coming up in the NBA talks about potentially being traded.
Brian Windhorst.
Let's just say that executives out there and teams out there that are in the hunt for star players, they have Damian Lillard's name on the board, sort of high up, and then maybe down, not high on the board, but down on the sort of middle right side of the board, they have Donovan Mitchell.
What?
Donovan Mitchell.
What? I'm sorry. What did he say? I wasn't Donovan ready for Mitchell. That. Donovan Mitchell. Really?
I know. All of a sudden, my friends were even texting me this morning. I'm like, what's going on?
What would cost you more?
That's
Dame?
What, and that's what the discussion was about. I would think, I don't think Dame would cost you more.
You don't?
No, wait. I think it would be a little bit less. Sorry. It would be a little bit less.
You think Donovan Mitchell will cost you more?
No, I think Donovan Mitchell will cost you like a pick or and a player less.
Oh, man. See, I don't know. He's younger. I tell you what.
That's what I said. The age,
I'd be completely
age,
fine with getting Donovan
the age,
Mitchell.
But again, I don't think Donovan Mitchell's ever going to reach the height that Damian Lillard is at right now.
You don't think so?
I don't think
That's a bold statement. He's pretty darn good.
He is.
He's really good.
But Damian Lillard is that guy.
I mean, he's 30, right?
The only thing I could see is, like, in the thought of depending on how they treat Damian Lillard, but, like, kind of with, like, wanting, is it J.J. Redick on the Pelicans where they wanted him to be able to win a championship somewhere else and, like, might actually, like, not, like, give him what he's wishing for, but might not, like, ask for the absolute farm and sending him over to the Pelicans, like, just trying to do right by him, whereas, like, Donovan Mitchell being earlier in his career and knowing that that's, like, a longevity thing, that's where I could see that, whereas, like, wanting to get Lillard that last push after he's kind of stuck with the Trailblazers through it all could...
Let me tell you something. Again, both of these teams are why I keep bringing up as well. You're stargazing with Ed Sheeran and who's the other guy?
David Beckham.
Yeah, exactly. if you have an opportunity to get both, or like let's say they're both available, I would say Damian is going to cost you more because of what you're saying, Jordan. But I just keep going back to this. If you're these two teams, what in the world would make you think that, you know, it's like, I'm not, unless you walk into my door and tell me I'm going Aaron Rodgers and I'm not showing up. Like James Harden. Like James Harden did that this year, right? He let you know before training camp, I don't want to play with you.
Santa Claus.
And then,
belly.
And then literally, he didn't show up. So he said, I'm not going to play with you. Which was ridiculous. Because I mean, you're sitting there going, well, who's going to trade anything for? And he winds up going to the Nets. So using that
as a model?
As a model, both of these players willing to do that. And if my point then is, James went and joined two stars to win a championship. And it goes back to my question I asked Christian Clark. I would love both of those guys. Do you even think it's on the top of their minds to come to New Orleans? Which, again, I go back to the Athletic article. Absolutely the wrong time for his family to say that. How are you helping yourself on that?
Well,
like, if I'm Damian Lillard.
I know,
Lillard,
but if you're Damian Lillard, you know if you're Mitchell, showing up, then they're putting players. The whole issue is they weren't putting players around him.
I want to know where that kid's head is. Are you already out the door? Where are you looking to go? You understand? Here's what I'm getting at. I'm not ripping the kid from this aspect of it because he has done well in his starts. I mean, in his start of his career.
Zion.
But it's 90 games. You understand what I'm saying? It's 90 games. We have lots of work to do. Shot development, mentality, defense, shot making. I mean, we have a lot of work to do.
Oh.
And I'm talking about these two guys are, they're ready.
Yes.
And for me to leave that place.
But it didn't say that he's going to leave. It was putting it to me. That article was putting them on notice.
No, I'm talking about like, I'm talking about Lillard and Mitchell for them to leave.
Oh.
I'm probably going to a team that already has unknown star and commodity. There's a lot of potential with Zion. But what I'm saying is if I'm those two guys, I mean, I'm going to a team that maybe I know where to go. But here's the thing I asked both of you guys when I walked in. Who's happy? Who's happy and where can you win? I mean,
is this like an existential question?
Yes, because apparently
every day. Apparently it's only Los Angeles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I mean, Utah was the number one team in the Western Conference. Portland has been to the postseason year after year after year, and no one's happy and they're ready to leave. So where do you go to be happy?
Here's my thing with the Pelicans as a good destination is like, if you want to like actually leave a legacy, going to join the Nets where you're going to be with Blake Griffin, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Durant, then you're just lost in the shuffle at that point. Like, not everyone can be LeBron James, but like, you can come to New Orleans and kind of immediately be that star while Zion is still kind of rising. But like, if you actually have a chance to like make this team go towards a championship, I think it would be like kind of stupid to overlook like players looking at the potential of Zion Williamson and how he can really like change the game and not be an enticing thing. I think that there are probably, you know, more immediate ready places, but we've said that like the Pelicans, again, those 14 games last season, if they knew how to close out games, which again, a lot of that to me comes down to like coaching and discipline.
I get it's there. But my God, they're not where the Jazz
you,
are.
Well, you're never going to be because you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying I'm willing to give up a future.
I understand that. I'm not arguing y'all's point anymore that you do whatever it takes.
Right.
What I'm saying is what would make them want to come here?
The opportunity to build their own legacy.
Well,
Did NFL players
they have built their legacy. Like Damian, you think of Portland, it's Damian Lillard.
So I understand.
Utah, I mean, Jeez and Peach, you have, what was it? Was it Screamin' A saying that he's the best player the Jazz have ever had?
But that was
had?
My point about if he goes.
Why are you coming to New Orleans?
If he goes to Brooklyn and wins with them, then no one cares about Damian Lillard. It's Damian Lillard and nine other stars.
I understand.
But if he comes.
But if both players stay where they're at, they can be the best player to have ever played there.
But they want to win a championship.
Right. You think you're winning a championship in New Orleans?
Again, that was my whole point. If they were coached better last year, won those 14 games, got some playoff experience, learned how to play defense, and actually learned how to, like, use Zion as a player and the players around him.
That's an interesting thing you did, which we can kind of go into since we're going to talk a little football next hour here as well. Y'all can chime in this conversation as well. I'd love both of those guys. I'd love a lot of people. I'm just trying to be realistic. Why would they come here?
Because what NFL player wanted to come here?
Well, you brought up Drew Brees under your breath there, so I want to talk a little bit about that. I think it's a bit different.